Gee, agus falchuk a Gian Clark come and look class gael na shocktan a shall meet Tom Cormack always with you on a Wednesday night. It's just gone 8:30. That means we're here until 9 o'clock. And well, we've got another busy program lined up. And my special guest, as you heard Marty Friel tell you earlier, is Pat Corley, chairman of the Milford GA Club, of course, who well have enjoyed good success already this year. They're promoted to Division One. Of the All-County Football League for the first time in the club's 33-year history. We'll be joined by Pat in a moment, but later on in the programme as well, we have Brian McNiff back again this week, and we have Brian on in the last couple of weeks, and I know he was anxious to discuss the new proposals for the All-Ireland Senior Championship, which was unveiled in Croke Park a number of weeks ago. We'll talk to Brian about that as well. But first of all, commiserations to the Donegal Minor footballers whose All-Ireland dream ended on Sunday in Croke Park, beaten by Galway 2-12 to 1-11, and I don't think there's any great argument about it. Donegal battled bravely to the end, and despite chasing the game from very early on, and late in the McCormick goal did bring them right back into a game that seemed to be gone from them as well. So some very good performances, some maybe less than so, and maybe a few people disappointed, but all in all, Donegal are Ulster minor champions again. Just a pity we didn't make it to the All-Ireland, and well, we've still to make that big breakthrough at minor level, so fingers crossed for next year. But congratulations to Sean Paul Barrett and to the players for winning another Ulster title, and hopefully they'll be back again next year. And we maybe talked about Brian McNiff a little bit about that as well, and look back on the game as well. Reading in his column in the Donegal People's Press and the Donegal Democrat on Monday, he had some thoughts about that and the style of football we are playing at the moment, and that's no cast aspersions on the minor management. I think it's a malaise that's through the county, but we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. But well, pride of place this week, obviously, in the north of the county has to go to Milford, because they're the new Division 2 Donegal All County Football League champions, but more important, they're promoted to Division 1 for the first time ever. And I'm delighted to see him joined by the chairman of that club, Pat Corley, of course, who is a long serving official and has been around for most of those 33 years. Pat, I think good night to you.
Good evening, Tom.
And first of all, congratulations. And how does it feel to have finally reached the Holy Grail?
Well, just to recap on something you have said there, Tom, I think you're jumping the gun slightly. We're guaranteed promotion, but we haven't won the league yet. There's still three games to go. And while we're 3 points ahead and we're confident that we will go on to win the Division 2 league, it's not finalised until all them three matches are played.
Yeah, nevertheless, I'm sure there's great satisfaction, the fact that with three games to go, you know you're going to be playing in Division 1 next year.
Oh, it is, and it's something we didn't expect after getting promoted last year from Division 3 to Division 2. And when we had that first meeting with Danny O'Donnell down in the hall in Milford, and the aim then was definitely to aim for a top five finish. But never in our wildest dream did we ever think that we would go straight from two up to one.
Yeah. Well, you've been there about for a good few years, I suppose, and maybe many highs and a good few lows over the last, what, three decades?
Oh, there has been them, you know, I suppose, like other clubs, you know, you would make progress and then sometimes it would, the wheels would fall off and you would get relegated again, you know, and you would go back, take a step backwards rather than. But this time, thankfully, we got to two and last year, and now we've got to, up to Division 1 this year, which is our first time in our history, and we're just really delighted. Everybody down here in the club is really thrilled.
What has been the reaction this week?
Oh, everybody is just over the moon, and we have got messages of congratulations from all the clubs around the county, and we just want to thank every one of them for all their good wishes. You know, it's it's great to get from the other clubs, you know, that they are delighted for us, you know, to be up there, you know.
Yeah, and tell me, I suppose the best place to start always is at the beginning. 33 years ago, the club was formed.
Yeah, 33 years ago, as you know, the way it came about is that Fannett Gaels, we were parked with them in Roger Casement's, and they decided, Fannett Gaels, that they would break away and form their own club. So we had that first meeting in the old vocational school here in Milford, and I think there was about 12 or 14 of us in it, and we decided then that we would start the club here in Milford. Now, it's called Milford, but we're very much conscious that we are in three areas. We're Milford, Remelton and Rathmullen. And while we have the name of the club, Milford, that's where the club is based and that's where the football field is. We're very conscious of the input that the other two areas provide to the club as well, and the players from that area and everything. Mm.
And tell me, who were the first 12 apostles in that room on that night in Milford?
Oh, you're pushing it to me now, but I suppose I can throw out a few names to you. You know, you had Seamus Dirk and the late Eddie Shields, Gene McGinley, Sean McCormack, A. McCormack, Seamus Dirk, and myself, John O'Connor. I think I'll stop there, Gareth Horkin.
Yeah, well, if you think of any more of them later in the programme, you can...
Fergal
Friel. And tell me, I was just looking through the record books. You've had a bit of success at junior level. Well, quite a bit of success, was it? Three junior championships, was it?
Aye, we have three junior championships, and we had the intermediate championship. So we had two under-21 championships, and then we had some underage at different years, you know, down through the years.
Yeah, and I think the very first year you got to the junior final as well, did you?
We did, against St. Michael's, who... Julie beat us in Ballybofey that day. Morris Coyle, I think, was to the forefront for them that day, and everything he touched seemed to turn to gold.
Yeah. And then, you know, it was you plodded along in junior for quite a long time, didn't you?
Well, we did, yeah. In 1990, we won the junior championship, and then we got promoted up to intermediate. And in 92, the famous year, 92, we also won the intermediate championship that year and got to play... senior the following year, then in 93.
Senior champion. What division were you in at that stage?
We were probably in the Division 3 at the time, you see. But we got promoted to, we won the Intermediate Championship, and we also won the league that year in 92. I think we went through the league undefeated.
Yeah.
And we got to play in the Senior Championship in 93 then, and I suppose as luck would have it, like yesterday evening, a bit like history repeating itself. We had a big clash with Glenfinn, and it actually went to a fourth match to decide it.
Hmm. And I recall at that stage, there was a general feeling that was a very good Milford team and that they were going to go on and progress. But unfortunately, you went back a bit after that.
It was true, Tom, but I suppose at that time, looking back in it now, it was the team was fairly elderly at the time when we achieved that, you know. So it was backbone by, I suppose, nearly all the Barretts, Eamor Cormack, you know. So you had four or five Barretts playing it, including SP, Pat and Sean and...
Dixie Gallagher, I think, as well.
Dixie Gallagher was right at midfield, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you went back, as I said, dropped back quite a bit for a few years then. And I know immigration played a part as well, didn't it?
Well, immigration, both back then and recently, you know, I suppose the last time we were had interest from the media in the club was after the crash when we had it. I think it was 40 people from the area had immigrated, you know, who would be involved. Now, they mightn't have all been playing on the senior team, but they would have been playing or involved in the club at some level, you know.
And tell me, in the difficult years, how difficult was it to keep the club going?
Well, it was quite difficult, you know, very difficult to field a team, and after we won the junior championship, we had two players, they had put off immigrating for a month to play in the final, but the week afterwards, Anthony McPaul and Lorcan Friel, the two of them immigrated to Canada.
Yeah. And tell me, obviously, a lot of people put in a lot of work over the years to keep it going. You know, maybe you could tell us who a few of those were. I know you were very much involved in the coalface yourself, from playing, from refereeing, and probably held every position in the club.
Well, I have been indifferent. I think the only one that I haven't done is minding the money, but I suppose we were often enough raising the money.
Yeah.
But I suppose it's not just about me. There's an awful lot of people who have given a great effort down through the years, you know. I suppose if we go through managers and that, you have Sean Paul, no doubt, who has done tremendous work, you know, with an awful lot of these players. He took them from under-12 right up to under-21 level.
That's Sean Paul Barrett, of course, manager of Donegal minor team. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And then you would have Nigel Black, who's also very involved with the coaching, involved at senior team management. Sean Paul was also a senior team manager and a trainer for many years, you know, with the team. You have Pat Barrett, you have Aidan Cannon, you have, going back further, you'd have Seamus Durkin, Gareth Horkin, people like that.
Yeah, and tell me, when did you begin to because I know there was a big emphasis put on underage at a stage in the club.
Well, I would say it was when back to Luke Barrett and them now, they're, 22 years of age, so you'd be talking about back 10 years ago when SP took over that team themselves and he started to put in the effort then with them. Initially, you know, he took them training down in the beach in Rathmullen initially, and they were training 3 and 4 times, you know, from the beginning of February until the championship started in the end of March. And, you know, he just followed it in and he set higher standards for them, and he just wanted everybody to be at every training session and to train hard, and that if they put in the hard work, then the results would come eventually.
And that team, you know, did enjoy good success, didn't they?
Oh, they did, yes, yeah. We got promoted and then we won the junior championship, you see.
Yeah, and you won quite a bit at underage as well. You know, you were knocking on the door there with a very good under-16 team for a couple of years, weren't you?
Well, that's it. Like, he won it at the A-level at under-12, under-14 and under-16.
Yeah, yeah. And just remind us maybe a couple of the names on those teams.
Well, you'd have...
From the senior team now.
You had Gary Merritt, Cahill McGettigan, you know, players like that.
And of course, you know, obviously there was big developments down there as well, but there's obviously maybe a clash at times with soccer as well, because Minford is known traditionally as a soccer area. Obviously, something has happened on that front as well.
Well, sometimes it did, but generally if there was if you were going and you were being successful, then if you had the players, they tended to stay with you. And I suppose vice versa, if the soccer was being successful, then the fellas tended to stay with the soccer, you know.
Yeah, and come along then, of course, and you developed your new playing areas. Where did you play first when you started first?
Well, we were playing in Milford, like the old Gaelic field pitch would have been over where what is now our training pitch. It was next to the road. It was a very narrow pitch. The players might remember back in 92, the county team actually came down for a fundraiser prior to the All-Ireland and they actually played in it, you know, but it was a very narrow pitch. So a chance came then to buy a field on the other side of the soccer pitch and next to on the Kilmacrinan side of the road of it. And that pitch was bought and then it was developed from there. Then we subsequently developed the stand and the clubhouse and all that.
And it's a fine facility, and it complements the whole sporting facilities in Milford and around that area, isn't it?
Well, I'd say the biggest or the greatest thing that we probably put into it was a walkway right around both the Gaelic pitch, the soccer pitch, and the training pitch, and that's for everybody, you know. So I suppose anybody from, as we were saying at the time, we were catering for them from 4 to 40, but nobody was catering for the people from 40 to 80. But we're getting many of them citizens out there now, and they're using the facility, and they're delighted to see everybody else using it as well, you know.
And tell me, what's the level of support like? Because I've been down at a few games, and there always seems to be reasonable crowds.
Oh, yes, we're getting good support all around. And, of course, naturally, when you have a bit of success, the crowds start to grow, and we get more people out, you know. So sometimes they're not always informed, and it's something that we need to work on, is to make sure that the people know when the games are on. Not everybody is on social media, which we all seem to think they are, but not everybody is, and we probably need to get signs up as to when the matches are actually on, whether they're a Saturday evening or a Sunday.
You mentioned Danny O'Donnell and his appointment earlier, and I think probably when you won one of your junior championships, or did you lose one or win one against Neamora, you defeated Neamora, I think, in 2004. He probably was playing for them. How big an influence has he? How big a change has he brought?
Well, he has just really driven it on this year, you know, since he'd come in, you know. He has got all the players. He's got some players back that had dropped or moved away or something, you know. And he just has really, trained hard with them, and the fellas have responded to his training, to his coaching.
Yeah. And tell me, what's the age profile? It'd be pretty young, wouldn't it?
Well, that's the thing, you know. I was just hearing my own young fellow, Porrick, saying that they're the elder statesmen in it, you know. So I think there's 4 of them or 5 of them at that level, you know, around the 32, 33 mark. But after that, they're down to about, I think, 1 or 2 at 25 or 26, and then we're going right down to fellas that are either minors or just out of minors.
Yeah. And tell me, in terms of underage, how is it going at the moment?
Well, we're still going well. You know, we're our minors are still going in the championship. Our under-16s were beaten there by Glenfinn, and I see they went on there, was it last night or the night before, and beat Naif Columbkill to win out of it. Now, they were unlucky to beat us here. Our under-14s did very well this year. Our under-13s are starting out now. They had a good win the last night over Mallon, and our under-12s did very well this year. And then there's a lot of work being done at our under-8s and under-10s.
Yeah, and of course you have a very successful ladies' club as well, haven't you?
Yes, we have. Now, our senior team this year is quite young, but we have a very good ladies' under-16 team, and under Marty Barrett, they're going very well, the ladies as well.
So it's onward and upwards, Pat, is it? And tell me, obviously, what, you know, celebrations probably put on hold because I see you have you're out in intermediate championship action this weekend, and I suppose nothing like whetting the appetite like a local derby.
Oh yes, and then Danny was very adamant in telling the boys that while he was going to allow them to celebrate naturally on Saturday night, and they're young amateur players, and it's only right that they should celebrate success getting up to Division 1, as did the whole club, that it was only going to be on the Saturday night, and that we have to look forward to championship. And as we all know, championship is totally different to league. And just one thing, that was a couple of years ago, that when there was a proposal about the league, Milford had proposed that the league would be played out to a finish, and that it would finish at the beginning of August, and then we would go on and play our championship. But that proposal wasn't accepted at the time, and I think it's a pity that the league hasn't actually finished it, played out and finished, and then you would play the championship.
Yeah, and obviously it's Fannet Gaels you're playing. That's down in Trelaw, I think, is it, on Saturday evening? Is it Saturday?
It's on Trelaw, and I don't know now, but I wouldn't think.
I have the fixtures here. I'm just going to go through them quickly because it's a bumper weekend of club championship action. We've got senior, intermediate, junior A. Where did I put the intermediate? I just don't seem to have the intermediate with me, but I think it's possibly it's the weekend anyway. So if you check the local press, or those of you on the social media, check the website. It's the intermediate championship is on Saturday and Sunday as well, those games. But I think your game is, funny enough, I think it's on Saturday evening, is it?
Well, Saturday evening, Tom, it's at 5:30, 6. The two games are at the reserve game at 5:00, and the senior game is on at 6:30.
Yeah.
And it's in Trelaw, it's not in Port Salon.
So
what I was going to say to you is that I don't think, I'm not sure, have many of our players played in Trelaw recently, you know, because they would have played, if there were any time we would have been playing Fannet, that would have been in Port Salon rather than Trelaw. So something they'll have to gear for and something. And of course, knowing that Fannet being part of the club previously, that while they will have a welcome down for us, there will be nothing easy going down there on Saturday evening.
Yeah, and of course they have been up in Division 1 and in Senior Championship as well, so obviously, but looking forward to it. And I suppose, as we said at the outset, with three games to go, it's good to have the season, have the league promotion wrapped up anyway. And I obviously people will be getting a chance to see some of the bigger guns next year, so your crowds will probably increase. Tell me, yeah, we've seen Milford players coming through at underage. Even Sean Paul Barrett himself played underage. We haven't seen any county seniors coming yet. Is there any in the pipeline?
Well, just what you said there is probably a source of contention with some of our players within the club who may have feeling that they didn't get a fair crack at the whip, but that's a story for another day. It's just that there is players there now who the team manager is going to pick, but I know I could name 5 or 6 of them off my head here if he was interested in them.
Right, okay. Well, they'll get an opportunity next year when they're certainly up in Division 1. They shouldn't have been barred from an opportunity when they're in Division 2. But look at Pat. Congratulations once again, and thanks very much, and enjoy the celebrations. And I know it's back down to work this week, and looking forward to talking to you again in the new year when you're up in senior football.
Thanks, Tom. And just that we are, you know, and our young players are looking forward to having the likes of Kilcare and the McHughes and St. Michael's and Colm Anthony and Christy Toy and all the other senior clubs who have county players. They're all looking forward to them coming and actually seeing them playing for their clubs here in Milford next year. And hopefully we'll get big crowds out to support the teams when they do come.
Slán, Pat. Slán.
Where am I, good, Tom?
Pat Hurley there, chairman of Melford, who have been promoted Division 1 for the first time in the club's history, and of course in Intermediate Championship action this weekend. Our congratulations again to Danny O'Donnell and to all the players, and I've been watching them closely for a few years, and it hasn't come as any great surprise to me at all that Melford are up in Division 1. Thought that we yesterday listen, Clare come on Luke Glasgow and a shock on the show with me, Tom Comeck. The clock is ticking along. I'm delighted to see I'm now joined by Brian McInniff again this weekend. Brian, good night to you.
Good night, Tom, and congratulations to Pat Curley and Danny O'Donnell, because this time last year, or just around this time, we played them in the Intermediate Championship, and I think you were covering the game that night.
Yes, down in Milford, yes.
And we were lucky enough to get out with it with a win.
Yeah. Anyway, I know we want to talk about, and we've had it on the agenda for a couple of nights you were on recently, to talk about the new proposals that for the championship format, which have been produced by Pádraig Duffy, the Irish juror of the GM, and I know you know particularly well. But first of all, I suppose we can't take you on without talking first about Donegal Miners and their bid to reach an All-Ireland, ending in disappointment last weekend in Croke Park.
It was a great year, and great credit to Sean Paul Barrett and the boys and the management team, Tom. You know, there was a time when Donegal, we'd be very happy with that there, but I suppose in latter years, what with the success both at minor to a degree at under 21 and senior level, I suppose it has been put on the back foot, you know, the success. But you know, it's great, Tom, and it's just disappointing we didn't beat them, you know, but on the day, God, we were a better side, and there's no point in crying over spilt milk. And but there's a lot of good players there, and there's a lot of them available next year as well, and there's a good under 21 squad, so the future's bright for Donegal, Tom. And again, it was a great time, and we got great enjoyment out over the period of the summer season that were under 18s.
And I was reading in your column in the Democrat and the People's Press on Monday where you feel maybe we're going to have to change our style of football a little, do you?
Well, without a doubt, Tom, you know, having watched Galway, and, you know, I think and I mentioned earlier, if we could get the stats of that match and just see, the ball will move much quicker by foot, Tom. And, you know, in latter times, and we've been caught this year, particularly in the Ulster final against Tyrone. But
that's at senior level, yeah.
Yeah, overpassing, and it's filtering down. And the same thing with the minors to a degree last Sunday in Croke Park. We've been filtering the ball over and across the 50-yard line without breaking the gain line at all. And, you know, if we were getting balls in early, as Galway did, in spite of the fact that we had a sweeper, they had a system of getting balls in, diagonal balls, and Armagh were great at that some years back when we encountered them back in 2003. It's a much better game to play, and it's much more productive too as well, Tom, and we'll get more goals that way.
Yeah. Anyway, as I said, what we had hoped, what we were talking, Robert, you want tonight to talk about is the new format for the championship unveiled by Pádraig Duffy and Éagan O'Farrell, Croke Park, a couple of weeks ago. No great change in the provincial series system. I suppose the one big change is in that All Ireland quarterfinals are done away with, and the four provincial champions are grouped in groups with the four best qualifiers.
There's no doubt about that, Tom. I suppose you could say, and they say it in the report, that they've no silver bullet that is worth a try and is worth maybe looking at. But, you know, there are other things in the report, if you read deeply into it. They're talking about doing away with league semi-finals and playing two provincial championships on the same weekend, an extra time after draws, which were at least maybe three, maybe four Sundays to get
to doing away with extra time.
Doing away with, you know, make it no. Having extra time and
doing away with replays
as such. Like we said, there's some terrible anomalies when you look at a Dublin or Leinster champions, 11 of the last 12, and Cork and Kerry in the last 18 years have shared the months of championship, but only Clare breaking through in 1992. But it's a wee bit of food for thought there, but I'm not too sure about it, Tom, and the fact that if you would just put on your crystal ball, look into your crystal ball, you could be assured that the teams that would be playing the top eight would be Dublin, Kerry, Mayo, Donegal, Tyrone, Cork, Galway, maybe Martin Cavan, Roscommon. I'm only just taking those at the top of my head as some of the eight teams that will participate. And the last thing we need is an extra three games.
Because they will play, four, three games each. They'll be divided into two groups of two or four and play.
I can see it financially being very, very beneficial and drawing great crowds and being very attractive games in the country. But Tom, I'm not too sure that it's that level of team that needs to be playing. It would be much better if somehow further back in the qualifiers that would have a better system of maybe getting players more, teams more involved, because at the backdoor system is good, Tom. But by and large, after the first round, the backdoor, there's eight teams gone right away.
Yeah,
you know, and there's still the teams that need football, Tom.
Yeah, and what's your primary objection?
Well, I think that the top teams need less football, Tom. I can see the Croke Park can make a lot of revenue out of it, and they're talking about filtering down to the lesser counties. But I don't know that those teams really want an awful lot of extra football. Probably what those teams want is better club football within their counties.
Yeah, and will this affect club football?
Well, it'll definitely affect it, Tom. If you say to Donegal next year, you're going to play an extra two or three games, there'll be uproar. You know that as well as I do. Mm-hmm. And the last thing you want, be fair to the club players. The county players are not getting playing with their clubs, Tom. I have encountered the counties. Like, we played Lensley twice, and we didn't see Michael Murphy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's unfair on Lensley. Mm-hmm. Now, it's fair for us, but it's unfair on Lensley. We played Ardra twice. We didn't see Paddy McGrath. Maybe we might see too much of him next Saturday night. But be that as it may, you know, it's very unfair for the clubs. And, you know, we were lucky in Donegal that we got 15 rounds of the league and one round of the championship played this year, and fair credit to the fixtures. But we don't want the next three games heaped on top of us for next year.
Yeah. And as you say, you know, the hardy annuals, that you have a fair idea who the teams are going to be.
You can sit down, and I won't be too far off them, what I have to tell you. And I don't need to be a rocket scientist to come up with that there, you know. Mm. Anyway, Tom, just as a slight deviation after looking at the black card last Sunday, we really have to review stuff such like the black card and maybe the restriction on the hand pass. Now, what I did like in that suggestion there of Duffy's was Division 3 and 4 teams in the backdoor system would get home draws. I think that's an excellent idea.
Hmm.
The All-Ireland semi-final on one weekend, it's a possibility, Tom, but the one thing that we mustn't lose track of, that we're promoting the games as well. And come, say, March, April time of the year to the end of September, we dominate the airwaves. And the televisions, and that's something we mustn't lose sight of, because we're giving out our Gaelic games right across for those 7 months, and they're the seven best months of the year to be playing football. And if we have any slippage there, the other coach will definitely take up the slack.
Yeah, and tell me, in relation to one thing somebody put to me as well, that, you know, this new format really, really ends the chance of the Minnow making the breakthrough, you know, like Tipperary last week getting to a semi-final, because the chances of Tipperary maybe pulling off a big win in an All-Ireland quarter-final, but having to maybe win two out of three games
Tom, down in Kerry, they have two championships, you know that yourself.
Yeah.
They have a club championship and they have a county championship. Maybe the time is that we should take a look. We had the open draw some years ago, the centenary year. And mind you, it worked very well the first year. It wasn't a big hit the second year, although we got to the semi-final against Cork the second year. But it wasn't a big hit. But in the first year, it was a big hit for us, because we were sitting in Division 3 and we had Kerry, the great Kerry team, up to Ballybuffet, which was a marvellous situation for us. But, you know, maybe it's time that maybe they threw open that there and have a look at what an open draw might be like. And maybe then we might get more Tipperary's coming through.
Yeah, but obviously, you know, nobody wants to see the end of, say, the Ulster Championship. You know, I know the Leinster Championship seems to have lost its meaning. The Munster Championship is really down to Cork and Kerry, and no disrespect to Tipperary and those that are coming through, but it is, and Connacht is Galway Mayo with maybe Roscommon and every 10 years, and Sligo and Leitrim every 20 years.
Yeah, that's the sad part of it, Tom. So, you know, I love the provincial championship, and in the report it says, fair and square, that they don't want to do away with the provincial championship, but we really need to take a look at some way that we could get an open draw in there and make it a lot more attractive
for
the smaller teams. Give them home advantage as well, those smaller teams, when they get a draw.
You hear the music in the background, Brian. That means we have to go. Thank you indeed for joining us. Thanks as well.
Sorry, we didn't cover the championship.
Yeah, we'll talk about it again on Saturday, maybe. Look at from me, Tom Comack, from Brian McAniff, and from Pat Corley, and from Martin Freel on sound. Until you, Shachtin, Huggins, Schlanagers, Bannon.